Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tuesday morning, Brandy. It's been a serious morning. I haven't had a whole lot of banter around things today, but that's some days the way we have to roll with the topics that we have. We'll be talking more about the injury carnage in the NRL with David Riccio shortly. That coming up on the program. Mitch Moses, Nathan Cleary, among others, now facing extended periods on the sideline.
I was talking to Campbell Graham, who was in for the Matt Johns show on Sunday, Vossie, and he was showing me his... He had to get a bone graft off his hip to fix that sternum injury. Massive operation to fix a sternum. That's huge. How do they do a bone graft? Like, what actually happened? Like, how do they get bone off one part of your body, and how do they make the bone, the new bone, how do they make it stick?
What a way to start the hour.
We're just talking about...
You're asking me? What?
Adhesive medicated plaster, which was patented back in 1845. How do they make bone stick to bone? Anything? So they can stitch tendons and stitch, and muscles, but how's the bone stuff work?
Well, maybe we throw that at David Riccio. His initials are DR, doctor. So
anyway, I was just thinking about it. When I was chatting with Campbell on Sunday, got a text here. It says, "Bravo and respect, Big G. Sending lots of love to you, brother." That's a nice text.
Big G.
From a fellow family member. SEN family member.
Emotional call we had between 6:30 and 7. Paramat says, "I call my large and thick tissues Clive Palmer's for obvious reasons." Thank you, Paramat.
And Western
Clive
Sydney
Palmer,
Eagle,
70 today.
Not a fan of Gorillas, the Western Sydney Eagle. Said absolute steaming, that one. Super glue, Mark says. That's how they do the bones. Bone graft.
Super glue. JBW of Carlton has got a problem. "Morning, gents. That Gorillas track Charlie played was Feel Good Inc. off the album Demon Days, not the debut album." Disc. Spot on. There's an error there. This one, too, on a serious note from Swanee, we've been talking about the AFLW players who were caught with illicit drugs charged by the police. "Good morning, I am a Swans member. They've developed a great culture and get the fans involved at every opportunity. I would suspend the players completely for the 2024 season. Let them think of the damage they've done to the Swans brand." That from Magpie Swanee. The two players named in the Herald today, Alexia Hamilton and Paige Shepherd, charged with possessing cocaine late last year. That's the first time the AFLW has had to deal with such an incident. Now, on a really somber note, just to start the hour, and I'm pretty sure David Riccio will add to this. Yesterday, very, very saddened to hear of the passing of Ian Heads, absolute giant of journalism, but rugby league journalism, and the number of books. I will just speak from a personal note, Brandy. If Ian Heads has a legacy, it's my bookshelf. Go have a look at how many wonderful pieces of work, attention to detail. Part of my love for the game of rugby league is through the writings of Ian Heads, has fostered that through the writings of Ian Heads. He's been so good over so many years. I'll quote Dean Ritchie's article from The Telegraph today, because I don't think I could come up with any better than how Dean started his piece in paying tribute to Ian Heads. "Honourable, ethical, dignified, engaging, and a superman of sports journalism." That's well written, Dean. Ian Head's passes away yesterday, 81, and I am so happy for the family, and I acknowledge the NRL in this, and Peter Verlandi's and his team. And I got to host this event last year, that they obviously knew of Headsy's health situation.
Yep.
And he was inducted into the Rugby League Hall of Fame last year. And while he's still with us, and I put it in those terms, Brandy, that the family got to experience that. His son, Philip, we've had a bit to do with, Philip Heads, great, they're a great family. But Headsy was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he thoroughly deserved that recognition. A journalist, never played, never laced on a boot, but he deserves to be in the Rugby League Hall of Fame for what he's contributed to the fans of the game, to the game itself, for the writings, the millions of hours. I don't know how many hours it would take to do all the things that he's written in the game. But Ian Heads, rest in peace. You have done the game a great service in your great life, Headsy, passing away at 81.
I had, a number of chats with Ian Heads. Vossie, I didn't know him well, but I would say this about him. The quality of person stood him above many others.
True. Yeah, true that. So, Headsy, great knock, mate, and will be missed and very hard to replace. But as I said, his legacy, you just go through and Google how many books Ian Heads. I think it's in the 80s. I think it might be that many. Books, sports books, but also a lot of rugby league books, the history of South Sydney and all those sorts of things that Headsy did will be dearly missed. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, so we've got a lot to get through this morning. Now, you're just saying about bone grass. Now we're getting back to that, Brandy. You have now got... have we got all these wannabe doctors getting in touch with us straight away?
Chase is on the line. He said, I've got a bone graft in my shoulder. They took bone, the pec was attached to, and screwed the piece into my shoulder to hold my arm in place. So there we go. So they screw it in. They screw the bone onto the bone.
Mm.
We've got a journalist online. Mm. Let's not hold him on any longer. Let's get him up.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
Morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Brandy. Good morning, Vossie.
Hello, David. Now, the initials DR, does that qualify you as a doctor? Are you like the hangover? You're not a doctor, but you are a doctor? You're DR, Riccio?
Yeah. Yep. What's the ailment, guys?
Well, it's bone graft. How does the bone stick together? How does it work?
I'll quickly just go to Dr. Google.
Well, we're going to have to go with Chase. He couple of screws kept the bones together. Which is, we're just talking about Campbell Graham's.
For all time, for all time?
Well, I guess...
For all time, you keep the screws in, do you?
Well, I think you do.
Well, there's now those dissolvable screws.
Dissolvable screws?
Yeah. Once the bone grows...
Right.
...over, the screws dissolve.
It's incredible, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Incredible. Injuries to players. We've got some, haven't we?
Wow. Wow, it's extraordinary, boys. Just a significant blow for so many of the sides. Already round three of the premiership, going into round four, and just some of the biggest names in the game sideline. Some real big blows came late last night with the news that Mitchell Moses has suffered a fractured foot and has gone anywhere between 8 to 12 weeks for the Parramatta Reels. It has huge ramifications, obviously, for the Blue and Golds, but so to the New South Wales State of Origin side, and whether Mitch can be back in time, at the earliest date possible to try and put himself back in the frame for that. But more importantly, for Parramatta, an Easter Monday clash against the West Tigers, he's gone now. It's understood he suffered it with about 15 minutes remaining last weekend. So pretty brave of Mitch to get through it. But it's a huge blow, guys. There's no two ways of looking at it. Options for the Parramatta Reels. Dejan Arcee has done a job and filled the role previously for Parramatta. But there is a tip that Blaise Talangi, who came through the lower grades as a half, can play on the ball as a running half, could move into that. It's quite extraordinary, could move into that halves position after making his first grade debut last week. So, look, Teamless Tuesday today. will finally confirm that, but that's the early mail, guys.
Okay, Ethan Sanders has been getting a mention from a number of our Parramatta fans. Yep. Any chance Ethan yep. Sanders finds his way into the team?
Yeah, look, there's no denying Ethan Sanders is on a trajectory towards the NRL, and it certainly wouldn't shock me to see him also floated as an option or even named. Situation for Ethan is that, you know, he's obviously in negotiations to sign with Canberra, if not already agreed to terms on a deal there. Whether that goes against him in the belief that if you're not progressing through our footy club, then potentially we'll go another way when it comes to picking an NRL side. So I'm not saying that's the case, but it's certainly happened in the past to a lot of players. So time will tell, guys.
Well, now, on all these injuries, does the Broncos... Is Adam Reynolds a chance to play this? Because I can't tip the Broncos at all. So we know Haas is out. We know Walsh is out. Reynolds, would they take any risk with Adam Reynolds? Does he miss out as well?
Yeah, look, Vossy, I will say this. Adam Reynolds... So it's a knee problem for Adam. I think he plays, guys. Based on the last 24 hours, he trained yesterday. He got through unscathed. But, you know, look, it was only yesterday. So he probably still has a couple of hurdles to jump. But there were very promising signs from Adam Reynolds as far as training is concerned yesterday. I'm with you, though. Like, if he doesn't play, geez, they're hard to tip. But I'm leaning towards the fact that he plays based on the work that he completed yesterday.
Okay. What about South Sydney? What are you hearing out of South camp, that there will be more changes or?
Well, Brandy, it's just interesting. Look, yet to be confirmed by South Sydney. There was a little tip around town yesterday that Jai Gray, very talented, half, can play fullback as well. Has a high opinion. South Sydney coaching staff do of Jai. They rate him highly to the point where they're in discussions to re-sign Jai Gray, believing that he is almost the future beyond Cody Walker. There was a little tip around town yesterday that Jai could force his way into this 17 against the Canterbury Bulldogs this week. As I said, yet to be confirmed. Now, if that's the case, that leads to a discussion around potential a reshuffle of the South Sydney side again, and Latrell Mitchell's name has come up, potentially Jai playing some fullback, Latrell moving to centre. Again, fascinating team list Tuesday today, guys, because as we know, South Sydney are a club in the hot seat, spotlight is on, and the decisions that, you know, Jason Demetriou makes in relation to this team will be much wanted to see.
Yeah, fascinating team list Tuesday. You're right. The coaches sort of scrambling and discussing who's going to fill in for a lot of key players that won't be around this weekend.
Now, David, I'll get a question without notice. We've been talking about what's happened with the AFLW today with these two players from the Swans, Alexia Hamilton and Paige Shepherd. It comes to light that last December they were charged with possessing cocaine. And we're having this debate this morning, you know, the AFL policy is you don't name them, but here they were in court, so of course the papers will get onto it. I mean, how do you think it would be handled in rugby league? What is the policy there around covering this story? So this morning, and I'm not having a crack, I mean, the Telegraph haven't named the players because that's, well, I don't know why they've been in court, but the Herald has named the players because it was a court order. Is there some process that you guys follow when it comes to rugby league players? If you got onto a story today that a rugby league player, male or female, was charged with possession of drugs, it goes straight to print, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And there have been cases in the past. Yep, absolutely. The sometimes differing circumstances are the fact that within the NRL, players can be served with a breach notice as far as being testing positive for an illicit drug, in this example, cocaine, of which, if it's a first strike only, it's kept in-house, guys. It's kept in-house from a club point of view. And therefore, it doesn't become public. I would argue, guys, and be more than confident in stating this, there'd be players running around in the NRL today with first strikes against their name that we don't even know about.
Yep, you're probably right.
You as a journalist, but you as a journalist, are you under obligation not to name? If the story falls into your lap, are you under obligation, and maybe something, to not name them?
No. I'm not held accountable by any NRL club.
And you're not held accountable by any NRL rules?
No.
Okay.
I'm held accountable by the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, and whether it's a newsworthy story and it's of public interest.
Yeah. Rhino Mike sends a text in. David, I'll just read this the text and the two different ways that the league and the AFL have handled it. Regarding the Swans players caught with cocaine, says Rhino Mike, this has been swept under the carpet by the AFL. In comparison, Reece Walsh was caught with cocaine. The NRL sanctioned him, fined him $5,000 and gave him a 2-game suspension. He then fronted a press conference and owned up for his actions and took responsibility. The difference in the two codes handling the situation is there for all to see.
But once it becomes a police matter, guys, it's an open and shut case. There's no stopping the story coming out.
I think with Reece Walsh, there was a video, though, wasn't there? There was some, of being arrested or being questioned by police. So that then sort of gave it even more profile. There's no video of this particular one. But I think those tuned in now would be interested just to know how it works behind closed doors at the editor's desk and the journalist. If that story, surely, you don't have to protect anyone. It's news. Go for it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're having that debate today. David, just one really quick word, but definitely appropriate. The passing of Ian Hedge yesterday. Dean Ritchie wrote it so well. A superman of journalism. Yeah. Well put.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. Really well written. Terribly sad day for obviously the Hedge family. They're a beautiful family, the Hedge family. And a sad day for rugby league, because Ian Hedge, the impact that Ian Hedge, I can't state in the next 30 seconds, because his impact on journalists, on rugby league, on both past and present journalists, his availability to young journalists to help guide them, he was all class. And in what is a very much, it very much can be, a dog-eat-dog world of rugby league journalism, where it's a battle each day to get the back page of the paper, Ian Hedge stood above the rest as far as being the most classy, respected individual and journalist that, you know, reading the tributes from people who have been around the game, and i.e. Buzz Rothfield, for as long as Ian Hedge, you read what Buzz writes and you see and you can hear, you can listen and you can feel just how much an impact Ian had on, you know, as I said, long-serving journos in the game. And he goes down as a legend. And as you said, Vossie, so well done by the NRL to afford Ian the Hall of Fame induction last year.
All right, David.
Well said, David.
You have a great day. We'll follow all the breaking news. Teamless Tuesday, of course. Joel and Fletch will have that with a run home, but also on the Telegraph website. Have a good day, mate.
Hey, thanks, boys. Go well.
See you, Dave.
Rubber stamped. Go well. We're here for Brighton's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's Lawyers, and you can give us a call right now on the Great Southern Bank open line, Brandy, 1300 01 1170, and you're getting the chance of a pretty good prize too, don't you?
Well, you do. You're getting the running to be the Club Med Caller of the Year for your chance to win a trip to Bali worth almost 10 grand. Thanks for making the switch to Sydney's home of sport, SEN, 1170 AM.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Our man from Sportsbet early in the week is Nick Ashman, and he's on the line. Nick, g'day.
G'day, Brandy. How are you today?
Going good, mate. What do you got?
Yeah, right. We've got Celtics. So they're the NBA big favourites to win the championship this year. They're back in action against the Hawks, who've been going pretty well lately. The Hawks have scored 132 points in their most recent games. But the Celtics, they're on a 9-game winning streak. They've been outscoring their opponents by nearly 12 points as an average in every single game. $1.14, though, probably not really a betting proposition for most people on a Tuesday, $5.75 for the Hawks. I did dig out something for your listeners. 8 of the last 10 games between these two teams have gone to 223 points as a total for the game or more. The guys at Sportsbet, the traders, have set the total points line at 224.5. So maybe the overs there at $1.89, $1.90 worth a little tickle, guys.
A little tickle. Now, what about the Socceroos tonight? Playing in Canberra in stinky Geo Stadium. I hope they've got the toilet issue sorted there or the sewage issue there, because that was a real problem for the Raiders' last home game. It could be a bit of an incident tonight.
You'd hate it to see things go to you know what, but yeah, $1.14 for the Socceroos, $1.15 even now, just as I'm talking to you, $18 for Lebanon, so $7 for the draw. Look, I will say this, traditionally there hasn't been a huge gap between these two teams, despite one or two games, so maybe the unders goals at 2.5, so two goals or less, paying $2.06 might be some sort of value there, Bossy.
Okay. And do we have a Melbourne Cup qualifier this racing this Saturday?
Yeah, we do, Brandy. Yeah. Look, all the action's in Sydney with the Tancred Stakes and the Vinery Stud Stakes. There's a good horse out there called Linebacker. Keep an eye out for him. He's only had one start at Hawkesbury for Johnny O'Shea, but he's expected to win this Saturday in the Bayview Stakes. He's the even money favourite, and then go towards this Group 1 Champagne Stakes. But you're right. Down at Flemington, they've got a race called the Roy Higgins. And if you win this, you're in the Melbourne Cup later this year. And Glentanius for Anthony Friedman is the favourite at 340. Don't forget, Freedy won the Melbourne Cup last year and the Caulfield Cup with the same horse without a fight. And guys, before I go, just a couple of things, a couple of new products out for Sportsbet. Photo finish, that's where if your horse ends up in a photo finish and runs second by a Bees, you know what, we'll still pay you out as if you were the winner. And we've also got race replays now. If you jump on your Sportsbet app and start looking at the form, you'll see race replays, too, so you can go back and have a look at how your horse is tracking in its upcoming race.
Oh, Nick, good stuff. Good stuff. We'll talk. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Brandy. Have a good day, guys.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Thank you, Vanessa. Breakfast powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. I know we've got sports headlines, Brent. I just want to throw a quick sports stat at you because the golf, you missed this one at the golf desk. Mm-hmm. The PGA Tour event on the weekend in America.
Yeah, the Valspar Championship.
Yeah. Had seven players with the name Kevin. It was the most Kevins in a field in over 40 years.
Kevin didn't win, but did he?
No, they had a 12th, a 26th, 45th, and four Kevins missed the cut. So seven Kevins were in the field, which was they actually were tied the most Kevins in a field, which was over the last 40 years. So there you go.
Right.
Fabulous
you know who
stuff.
What
was Kevin? I never heard of the bloke who won it. Yeah, no. Milnat or what was his name?
No, Malnati. Peter Malnati.
Malnati. All right, let's get to the other sport.
Yeah, we had some Aussies in there too.
Aaron Baddeley made the cut. He was the only one who made the cut.
Minwoo missed the cut.
Oh, that horror.
You start us off, Andrew.
We'll start with Rabbitohs players Alex Johnston and Jacob Host say it's up to the playing group to turn around the fortunes of the club and get the pressure off coach Jason Demetrio.
Love that chat.
Yeah, you love that sort of stuff. Here are the players on Nine News last night.
Tommy Burgess has been around as long as me, if not longer, and he said, I think it was the 2014. After the first four games, they'd only won one, so we're in a similar position.
I guess if you go all that way back, it gives you some hope, doesn't it? 2014 was right.
Yeah, it was a pretty good year for us. It'd be nice to replicate that. I'm keen to obviously keep training, playing my best under him. I love him as a coach.
Yeah, of course. He stands up and faces the critics every week, never backs down from that. He's always got our backs, and now we got to repay the faith and show that we've got his back. I think something like this can bring a group closer together. And that's what we're really focusing on, bringing that connection this week and just try and show that out in the field on Friday.
He has been facing the critics just about every week. And that's from midway through last year. What's their record? Four from their last 18 games?
Stinking the joint up.
Well, he's had some pretty tough times post-game answering questions. Graeme Annesley gave his address yesterday for the round three matches, said that match review committee got it wrong by not charging Taylor May over his head clash with Reece Walsh.
The view of the administration on this is that we think that it does reach that threshold of careless action at least. In our view, there's an obligation on all defenders to ensure that they play the game with due regard to the safety of other players. This particular type of action of coming up and in at speed will often go wrong, and on that basis we believe it should have resulted in a charge.
There you go. As we've been discussing, it's been revealed Sydney Swans AFLW players Alexia Hamilton and Bade Shepherd were charged with possessing cocaine in the off-season and sentenced to a 12-month good behaviour bond. Under AFL policy, the players receive a first strike. It would only be with a second strike that a player is suspended for four matches and named by the AFL, who haven't, named them, but the papers have.
Yeah, but Dave Riccio brought up a good point. We do have a first strike too in NRL, where no names are released.
Yes.
You only get, again, Reece Walsh wasn't a positive test. Reece Walsh was caught by the police. It was a court.
Yeah. Yeah. But if a journalist gets the story, they're writing it. That's what we established with David.
Yes,
whereas
yes.
On the text, there you go. David of Altoona Gabba says, VB, the journalist who has written the story in the Telegraph regarding the two Swans AFLW players is a Herald Sun journalist. So the story is just probably republished. We all know the media in Melbourne give the AFL an easy ride. The AFL journalists would follow the AFL policy.
That's right. Don't name them, even though it's a court action. That's outrageous. Off the back of his Sheffield Shield coaching feat, WA coach Adam Voges could be in line to become Australia's next head coach, with Andrew McDonald hinting he's unlikely to seek a second term from 2026. Voges is said to be well in the frame to replace Andrew McDonald.
There was some drama this morning too, just away from sport on the Hawkesbury River Bridge. There was a couple of separate crashes, which meant that one of the three city-bound lanes was closed. Just in the last couple of minutes, that has reopened. Obviously, there's delays if you're heading from the north coming towards the city. There are some problems there on the bridge, so you're just going to have to allow extra travel time. Or, as Brandy often says, just have the day off work from home.
Well, just don't go.
Traffic.
Stay at home. Which a lot of people still do, don't they? They work from home. A lot of people still working from home.
Snap poll, how many are still working from home? It's a Tuesday. Are you working from home or are you on the tools today, so to speak, on whatever you do? Mm. How many are working from home? What's the breakup? Is it 2-3 split or how many work from home?
I was surprised, just a few people that I know and that run offices, and I was surprised that how many companies still are having the... It's still COVID. Still running like COVID. A couple of days a week in at work and, stunned how many stay at home still.
All right. You could have your say on that one. The great Southern Bank open line 1300 01 1170. If you care to make the mission, working from home, you've got time to call us. Do it. Thanks for making the switch to SEN 1170 AM, the home of sport in Sydney. And that great Southern Bank open line number again, 1300 01 1170. If you call, you are in with a chance to be our Club Med Caller of the Week, as Darren of Ingleburn was last week, Brandy.
Yeah, breakfast is powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. Brownie says, I just changed jobs because it gave me the flexible working from home conditions. I can now take my kids to training, spend more time with them. Some things money can't buy. Brownie, good point. And I think that is the worry with a lot of businesses, that they're worried about their employees being stolen from like-for-like businesses, because if they stop offering the work from home availability, that's the truth. That's a concern for businesses.
Obviously, one size doesn't fit all. Not all businesses can afford that. I'm back 4 days a week on the tools in the city. It's definitely getting busy now. I'd say 75% pre-COVID levels. Josh from Kellyville, 75%.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's still...
Where our studios are located, you can hardly say North Sydney's thriving hub anymore. I mean, yeah, before Vispos, it's gone. Vispos is gone, but there must be a lot of empty office space around that's, only getting used partially or not at all.
I can't understand the obsession from rugby league journalists trying to tear into the fabric of the game every time there's a high tackle or a concussion. They froth at the bit for stories like this where they compete to make the most outrageous statement. These guys are now on a crusade to ban and punish the accidental head clash. They're pushing us down the rugby union path, and we know how that ends. We need to accept it's a dangerous game and move on from this rubbish. It's about education and banning accidents. Not banning accidents and changing rules on the run. It's about education, not banning accidents and changing rules on the run.
Not banning accidents. But you would say in this instance, the league did attempt, and the match review committee has not followed through with what they were sent out the warning letters last year. We don't want wingers, outside defenders, jamming in recklessly, you know, just racing in to make tackles at speed.
At speed.
And technique because goes out the door.
Technique does go out the door, and the slightest misjudgment generally ends up with an injury. Look at the Dale Finucane one. Out of the line, from outside in on Stephen Crichton last year, Nelly lost his ear. Like, a nasty head clash.
Mm.
Obligation is on the defender. So, when I watched it live, I thought, well, he was moving that quick. He didn't have time, so that's an accident. But we're going to try and prevent those accidents. That's all. I don't think it's ripping and tearing the fabric of the game. And
no.
I'm hoping he's not calling you and I journalists, because that
that would be. Well, I'm bringing Lee. I mean, Lee Hedgepentelis coming on after 8, and we'll throw it. We'll be suing people who call us journalists. Talking about accidents, Alex Johnston of South Sydney. If you're not across this story, the one where Sandon Smith kicked the ball off the ground and Manu leapt up high and contacts Alex Johnston. It's taken both his teeth. Front teeth.
He's lost
so
his
people
front
are
teeth.
Saying that he's now the true blue South Sydney fan.
He's a poster boy.
Poster boy with no teeth. Alex Johnston fronted the media yesterday to talk about this unfortunate accident.
My two front teeth are busted from last week's game. I might get them out this week, and I'll be missing two front teeth there, so maybe get some dentures hopefully. But yeah, see, I'm in the wars. So it's hard for me out here, guys. Teeth are gone. Semi my fault, but it was when Manu, me and him collided in the air and when he scored his try. Unfortunately, part of his arm hit me straight in the teeth, so yeah, it's unfortunate, and missus isn't happy.
I almost became a South supporter in the final year of school footy. And Paul Sirenen, I jumped up to tackle Ciro, can't run without heads, and I banged my front tooth on the back of his head, and I nearly lost it. It was wobbly, and I thought, oh, that's going to go, but it didn't. Since that day, I wore a mouth guard.
Is that right? Who was the player over in England that, or was it England or was it here, that they had a contact with a player? And they ended up getting an infection in their arm. And when they inspected the arm, an opponent's tooth was still in the arm.
That's right.
Somehow ended up there, bit of the tooth. And tooth leads to infection. Who was that? Can someone research that story for us? Because Charlie can't. He's just doing a great big yawn. So we need someone research that story. Who got the infection in their arm from having someone's tooth embedded there without their knowledge? They didn't know it was still there. The player lost the tooth. They went looking for the tooth. Never found it. It was actually broken the flesh and was inside the person's arm. I work from home 2 days a week. Someone just wanted to let us know. Don't put their name to the text.
Well, that's
I work from home 2 days a week.
Yeah, thank you for that. Tabman64 says, Vossi, does King Gutho have to wave his arms twice as often now that Mitch Moses is out injured? Or does the reserve arm waver get a go?
Yeah, the reserve arm
waver.
They
wave some arms around.
Oh, from the first tackle of the game? First and second tackle? It goes on. This one. I work from home long before COVID. Going into an office for the vast majority of jobs is pointless. Convert offices to residential buildings and the housing crisis is solved. You're welcome. BMO solving the world's problems here.
Frank the Shark says, why didn't Walsh change his running line? He ran straight at him. Poor play by Walsh. He's supposed to be an attacking weapon. So use your step.
Frank.
What? Frank, come on.
Frank had some advice for me earlier in the show when I was talking about the drug possession charges. I think he said I needed some reference towards Ron Coote, which is interesting. This one, Dunny's had a crack too. He says, happens all the time, Vossie. This is about the AFLW players. Mr. Dramatic, he says. League players get done in-house heaps. Stop making out we are better. Not the crime of the century. Dunny, get an ear check. Haven't said we are better, if you're saying rugby league better than AFL. Not the crime of the century. Haven't used that phrase either. And haven't even called for a suspension. You know, like, I'm just saying that if you are caught, I see no problem with you being named. And it's the same. Any sports person, no dramas at all. If you get caught and charged by police, should be printed straight away. If that day, so be it.
Mm-hmm. Rob, Port Macquarie, Pearl, 539, Kev, Jay, and 360, BMO, all say Jamie Ainsco was the player that had a tooth in his arm.
Right, Jamie Ainsco. Infected.
Thanks, boys.
There you go. Because blood infections can be nasty. Once you get the infection, up they go. Now, let's talk about Leichhardt Oval, because Joe from Menai has called in on the Great Southern Bank open line, 1300 01 1170. It's going to continue to go on, and it's been, you know, fuel added to the fire yesterday. Shane Richardson said we won't be playing at Leichhardt Oval next year if there's no
unless
improvements.
It's fixed up.
We won't be playing there next year. You can't be any more emphatic than that. Joe of Menai, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. Love the show. I've got to say, I absolutely agree with Shane Richardson. And I started following footy in the 70s. I love the suburban grounds like anyone else. But we've got to think of the future. Now, I support Easts. We've been much maligned with our crowds, how crap they are. We've got no supporters. We averaged 21,000 last year, and a large part of that is because of that incredible stadium we play out of. Now, everyone's raving about the crowd at Leichhardt on the weekend. There was less than 16,000 there. As a game, we should be aspiring to average 20,000 a game. Now, that's a below-average crowd. The big mistake the West Tigers have made, and I don't know why it doesn't receive more publicity, they should forget Balmain, forget, it's not the right term. That's their history, but their future is Campbelltown. That's their roots of Balmain and West, two brilliant clubs with amazing histories. But they were gifted rugby league heartland. As a Rooster, my God, I wish we had that. What is Campbelltown? It's Penrith, rotated 45 degrees west. That should be the source of a stream of players, a stream of fans, islander population, working class population. But they want it. They can't get Balmain out of their heads. Even though Balmain, really, the location of Leichhardt is terrible. There's no public transport. There's no parking. They're gifted Campbelltown, but they can't get the mentality out of the way. And 16,000, that's nothing. It's embarrassing when we go on about what a great crowd that is.
Strong call from Joe of Menai, and you can react to it as well. You can get on the open line and react to that, 1300 01 1170, or get the text. He's had his say. Joe of Menai, very strong. React to it right here on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, and we are here for Brighton's Lawyers. Lee Hedges-Pentelis coming up.
Just a quick one. Following the season, Jamie Ainsco went close to needing having his arm amputated. So a little follow-up after the news.